Time to welcome an old friend back to the program, Curtis Greco at the Imperfect Messenger Foundation, and he has been up to his usual tricks, which is passing on great information and analysis about all kinds of things. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you back.
Good to be back with you.
Yeah, well, it's been a while, and you've been busy, of course, and Lord knows there are things going on in the world to analyze, and I guess let's start with what's sort of taken a back seat of late with all the things happening in the Middle East, which we can talk about, but let's start with the economic situation of the Trump policies, what he's trying to get enacted, the big, beautiful bill, the economy just in general. But let's start with the so-called big, beautiful bill. It's sort of hit a snag. Of course, the president wants it before the holiday. What's your read on that situation right now?
Well, Donald Trump has become a master at taking large swipes at small targets. He's notorious for doing these in the form of redirection to pull people off of things he doesn't want to deal with and then ultimately land back on exactly where he wants to be. The big, beautiful bill is chock full of a bunch of policy corrections that date back to his original term that, frankly, if they don't secure, particularly the tax cuts, is going to be a huge problem. Public's going to get hit with huge tax reenactments that were key to the economic revitalization of the country back in his first term, part one. Part two is a part that Trump wants to and has been wanting to try to formalize with the failure of USAID and the exposure of all of that waste, fraud, and abuse, the millions upon billions of dollars that had basically going out through NGOs with pet projects that were able to escape natural budgeting restrictions and oversight. They've got to codify those items, or otherwise all that's going to kind of resurface when Trump's no longer in office. The system left unattended is going to migrate back to personal avarice, personal favors, mm-hmm. personal aggrandizements, all of those things that got us to where we are today. The big, beautiful bill, unfortunately, is, you know, it's kind of one of those annoying terms that sometimes the president comes up with,
right.
You know, because you're sitting there going, what is it that you're actually talking about? You know, bring it down to the public level so we can really understand. And he has a great way of trying to simplify them, but sometimes it doesn't really go far enough. And so one of the things that I think that he's still going to have a battle with, and this was in a piece that I wrote back in November when it was looking like he was going to get his second term, and that was this, and this is direct connection to this big, beautiful bill deal, is Trump's biggest threat is not the Democrats. It's not the deep state. It's the American public that's become accustomed to being, doing, and getting whatever it is that it wants so long as it doesn't hurt. Trump's biggest risk is that he loses the support, the vocal support, of the people who actually voted him into office. Without that inertial push, big, beautiful bills and, you know, whatever codification of the corrections made by Elon Musk and the USAID exposure is going to be absolutely meaningless. So, tidying this all up into one last comment on it, and we can pursue it further, is the political interests, whether it's in the GOP or whether it's in the Democrats, is the biggest threat and will continue to be a big threat until Trump finds a way to secure a vocal response from the public that is willing to stand up and be willing to take it in the chin, because that's what the country needs to do.
Curtis Greco is with us, the Imperfect Messenger Foundation, theimperfectmessengerfoundation.com. You can check out all the work there. Let's switch it to foreign affairs, Curtis. Of course, the Iran situation front and center with the president's decision to bomb the nuclear facilities. It seems to have been a successful reset and a assertion of control by the, what we would call, of course, the good guys, the United States, and as an extension, Israel. What is your total read on the situation in the Middle East? Was this the right and good decision, and where does it lead from here?
Well, the axis that creates the polarity in the Middle East is the respective interest of China on one end, the Russians on another end, and, of course, the United States, and Israel on the other. What is lost in this battle regarding Iran and its nuclear ambitions is the fact that Iran has been processing yellowcake, the basics for the development of a nuclear a weapons of mass destruction, a bomb. It goes back all the way to 2003, when Hassan Rouhani was president of was ahead of their nuclear program, and then later became president of Iran. They've been detonating and testing nuclear devices or bombs in North Korea since 2010. It was and has always been inevitable that a conflict with this is going to occur, largely pushed by Israel, because Israel knew and still to this day knows that the United States is an unwilling combatant in this battle. Whether it was Bush, Clinton, either the Bushes, or Clinton, or Obama, or, of course, Sleepy Joe, nobody was going to try to take on the Iranians directly because, frankly, no one knew exactly where they were in the developmental end of their bomb and their nuclear ambitions. The biggest issue that Iran had was not the ability to create a bomb. That was already well established. The problem that they had was the delivery system and the ballistic technology that was required to actually make it a deliverable system, which left two alternatives, and that was either you back off of it and try to camouflage it as a domestic nuclear program, which was not possible because they were enriching uranium far beyond the basics required for reactor technologies. The other part was they do something dirty. I think ultimately what the answer to your question in a long-winded way was to build a basis for saying inevitably something was going to have to be done. If you were going to contain the Middle East from becoming just another tactical arms race with very dangerous weapons systems, nuclear, you were going to have to confront it. You were going to have to do exactly what President Trump did. Not that he wanted to, but it was inevitable that something was going to have to be done. So the answer to your question is not a great thing to have to do, but it was inevitable that it was necessary. And Trump is just the type of a president with a form of leadership capacity that he commands, not only from his public persona, but his ability to motivate and inspire a direction that produces an outcome similar to what happened last week. And I think in time it's going to show. And if it works really in the most beneficial way, it could lead to a position where the Iranian military basically rises up and does away with this radical Islamism that has taken over Iran for the last 40-some-odd years.
That's Curtis Greco, our old friend back with us, and hopefully we'll be on a regular basis moving forward. You can check out his work at the Imperfect Messenger Foundation. com. Curtis, as always, we appreciate you joining us.
Always a pleasure. I look forward to doing it more.